I know a mom
who had a young girl. Her daughter was misbehaving, and she was sent to time out in her room to think about what she had done wrong. After a few minutes, little Grace emerged from her room and informed her mother that she had thought it over and decided that she needed to pray about her situation, and so that's what she had done. Grace's mother was pleased and touched. She said, "If you ask God to help you not misbehave, God will help you." "Oh, I didn't ask God to help me not misbehave," said Grace. "I asked God to help you put up with me." Prayer is a tricky thing. A couple of weeks ago, when I asked y'all to write down your burning questions and doubts, several of the cards that I received were questions about prayer. A couple of people wondered why prayer doesn't seem to work. I mean, we pray for the same people week after week, and they're still on the prayer list. Someone else wanted to know if there's such a thing as bad prayer or inappropriate prayer. If we pray for the Clemson Tigers to win a game, and they do, does that mean that God listened to our prayers but not to the prayers of the other team fans? So there are a lot of questions about prayer, and they basically boil down to this. Why do we pray? What happens when we pray? What should we pray about? How should we pray? I'm not sure that I can answer all of those questions to your satisfaction this morning. And I have to be honest with you, Will and I moved on Friday, and so this week has been one of great distractions. And every time I started thinking about this, my brain just went in a ton of different directions. But I prayed, and two things came across my desk to help me at least begin to answer these questions. I'm leaning very heavily today on two very wise men of God. First, I want to share with you the words about prayer that our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, recorded for the Feast of the Ascension, which was just this past Thursday. Bishop Curry talks about why we pray and what happens when we do. These are his words. "We may not always know how. We may not always know the details. We may not always see the end result or the end product. But prayer changes things. Because prayer brings God into our conscious focus. And in some mysterious and wonderful way, prayer alters the chemistry of the moment, changes the equation of history and life, sometimes in ways that we can see and sometimes in ways that we can't. But prayer changes things." Bishop Curry goes on to say, "When the cries of the lonely, when the cries of the oppressed, when the cries of those who are sick, when the cries of those who suffer, when the thanksgivings of God's people when a child is born, when a thanksgiving is uttered when something wonderful happens, when we pray for peace on earth, when we pray for a way through when we can't find a way through, in those moments, there is silence in heaven. Because God is listening. And if God is listening, that changes the equation of the moment." Bishop Curry is saying that when we pray, when we give our attention to the love that God has for each of us, our reality can change. Not necessarily the circumstances in which we find ourselves that compel us to pray. But when we give our attention to the love that God has for us, our reality can change. The very ground of our being can change when we pray the way that Jesus prayed for us on the night before he died. Our best model for prayer is Jesus. Jesus prayed. The four Gospels offer us four rather different accounts of what Jesus did and said, but all four Gospels agree on this. Jesus prayed. The Gospels show us that prayer remained the constant refrain of Jesus' life. Jesus prays frequently and fervently throughout the Gospels. And now I have a question of my own about prayer. Now, why did Jesus need to pray? Jesus is God. Who's Jesus talking to? Canon Frank Logue of the Diocese of Georgia wrote about this, focusing on how Jesus prayed in our gospel reading today. He said, Jesus has always been connected to the Father and the Holy Spirit in ways that are mysterious to us. They are one and yet three. And we see that Jesus prayed as part of this ongoing relationship within the Trinity. When Jesus was born in human flesh, he became like us, bound by time and space. Like us, Jesus then had to make an effort to give his attention to the Trinitarian love and power, even though it flowed in and around and through him at all times. Jesus prayed to be an example to his followers. We see this most fully on the night before he died. All of the Gospels tell of Jesus praying fervently on that night. In our Gospel reading today, we get a glimpse into Jesus' prayer that evening as it is presented in John's Gospel. The entire chapter 17 of that Gospel is this one long prayer that Jesus prayed, not for himself, but for us. Jesus wanted those who followed him to be protected, not from bodily harm, but from falling away from our faith. Falling away when we see Jesus go to the cross, falling away when we pray and we pray and we pray, and we don't get the answer that we want or expect. Most of all, Jesus wanted us to be one as he and the Father are one. And that's a plea for Christian unity. And we don't see that either. But that's not all that's going on here. Jesus is praying for our community to reflect the relationship that he has with the Father. And for that to happen, he calls for us to be drawn into the relationship of love that is the Trinity itself. Jesus prays for that sort of deeper relationship for us, not just with God, not just with Jesus, but with each other. That's going to take an awful lot of prayer. But it is his dying wish that those who know him might be drawn into an abiding connection with him and his Father through the power of the Holy Spirit, and through the power of the Holy Spirit to be drawn into this deep, loving relationship with each other. Jesus has already demonstrated what an abiding connection to God looks like. It looks like love and acceptance for everyone. It looks like praying and praying and praying. It looks like being ready to put down your very life, if you have to show that love for each other. At the very least, to put aside those things that get between us. Throughout his life, Jesus took regular times for prayer, both liturgical prayers in worship and in spontaneous prayers offered on various occasions. Jesus maintained the connection to God in good times and bad. In the times of triumph, such as his baptism and the transfiguration, when God announced to the world that Jesus was God's own beloved child. He maintained that connection even in his agony on the cross. And he asks us to do the same. If you're ever in a situation where you find yourself thinking, what would Jesus do? The answer that you should come up with first is Jesus prays. Now, shouldn't we also, first and foremost, pray in all the chances and changes that life sends our way? Shouldn't we also lift up our hearts to the silence in heaven? And let God change the very ground of our being? In order to do that, you have to remain fully connected to God. And the best way to do that is to set aside routine times to pray, just as Jesus did. It's the whole point of the daily offices, morning and evening prayer. Their purpose isn't to score piety points. Their purpose is to develop the habit of regular times of focusing on being connected to the Holy Trinity. This was Jesus' will for us. Jesus wants us to find and nurture that deep and abiding connection to God. The prayers that we pray may not get the kind of answers that we're looking for, but they do make a difference. The biggest difference that our prayers can make is within ourselves and within our Holy Trinity community. Our prayers change our hearts and our minds and our actions. Our prayers make it possible for us to love, think, and act in accordance with the prayer that Jesus prayed on our behalf before he died, when he looked up to heaven and said, "Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one." Amen.